Is this working?
Hello.
Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
It's the Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
It's a bunch of students.
I'm a university student.
Sunday evening.
Is that the time?
Yes.
Oh, jingos.
You're listening to the Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
I dare you not to listen to Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
On 2SER 107.3.
I mean, I probably wouldn't do that.
G'day and welcome to Macquarie University Sunday Sessions, brought to you by the students of Macquarie University. My name is Nick, and I'll be keeping you company for the next little bit until the fantastic Jason and Em take over the reins. Got some great things coming up for us on the show. Our producer Joe is going to be chatting to us about the importance of those good old nightly naps, and I've got a tidbit of ASMR for you. But first, have you ever thought about what it's like to be deaf? Not tone deaf like me, but hard of hearing. Our co-producer Alex will be up next to bring you a story about her dad. But before that, this is The Boys Are Killing Me by Pond, and this is 2SER.
Back in 1996 in West Australia, I wonder why you were lying on the street. I look another accident inflicted on an innocent child in home while I was on the sea. So I was in the garden reading Papillon, telling myself real people couldn't be so cool. And she said, honey, what's wrong? I said, babe, what's right? So we staying up into the night. Oh, I'm lucky, I'm lucky, I'm lucky just to sleep at night. Oh.
Staying up into the night, drunk by
Keen to pursue a career in film, TV, radio, or digital media?
Learn the basics or brush up on your skills with a winter intensive short course at the Australian Film, TV, and Radio School.
Practical, hands-on, and taught by top industry practitioners. AFTERS 5-day courses run during June and July.
Enroll now at aftrs.edu.au.
Book now for the early bird discount.
AFTERS sponsors 2SER.
You're listening to Macquarie Sunday Sessions here on 2SER. My name is Nick, and thanks for tuning in. Hearing loss is an invisible condition that 1 in 6 Australians have. Chances are, you probably know someone with a hearing condition. For example, our producer Alex. Her dad has not one, but two. But she's never spoken to him about it until now. This is Alex.
My dad is a lot of things. He has a wicked sense of humour. His name is Anthony.
Anthony James.
He's a farmer.
Father and farmer. There you go.
He's also kind of deaf.
Sorry.
He's a bit deaf. I've never talked to my dad about what this is like for him. This interview is one of the longest one-on-one conversations I've ever had with him, and I still made my sister sit with me for moral support. Hiding behind my recorder and my radio assessment excuse, I asked.
I never actually had hearing tests done until I was at, I guess would have been probably year 7 or 8. I can't hear high-pitched noises such as the sound of digital watch alarms. Even if it were amplified 100 times, I still can't hear it because it's just not there. And that also correlates to speech. So people say S and T and various syllables and words, I don't actually hear them. I only hear the tone of the voice changing. I have another thing that goes with it, which is this ear ringing, which is always there, called tinnitus, and it does really get you down because in a total silent space, the noise level is always there. And these things, you just have to deal with it with your own mind and move on. Otherwise, you'd probably end up in a fairly sorry state because nothing can be done really to stop it or cure it, other than a room with ambience and noise around sort of it's louder, then you don't notice it. In a silent area, your mind can tend to focus to it, and you can bring it on and make it even worse than what it was. It's very hard to explain.
No, I think I understand. It's kind of like
When
you try to think, when someone tells you not to think about something, And then you keep thinking about it.
And it'll get worse, worse and worse and worse and worse.
Did you used to get in trouble for pronouncing words wrong when you were a kid?
Yes, I did. And worse than that, I always got into trouble for not concentrating or hearing things when I... Back then, I was never diagnosed with the issue, and I could never understand why I was different, to a group of other 20 people. When I went to high school, it then became more than sort of a learning issue. It became a peer issue. Sort of put it across as being lacking in some way. In those times, you just learn to... harden up, deal with it, and move on. There was nothing else you could do.
I asked Dad if he feels like his hearing isolates him.
Well, it affects everyone. I mean, it affects their own family. It's very, very hard to explain in depth, but it certainly, I suppose, isolation on a percentage, sometimes 70% isolation, it's a lot.
Really? In like, when you're like sitting with other people?
Yes, yeah, for sure. That certainly changed. If there's a group of people, I'll go, well, look, there's no point me wading into this situation because it's just going to end badly.
70%?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a lot.
That's right.
That must be really hard.
Well, again, you just have to accept it. You just got to move on.
Standard Anthony response.
Touch wood, still got 4 limbs, still have my eyesight. I think being sight impaired would be perhaps even more difficult.
I feel like you would say that about anything. I feel like you'd say that something else is more difficult than what you've got anyway. Do you feel like you're missing out sometimes?
A lot. Yeah, miss out on lots of things.
Like what?
Very life-changing. That's a pretty broad one to answer, really.
So everything, then?
Yeah, well, you know, it's affect. I probably could have been a very different person than what I am now if I had have had normal hearing. There's a lot of things I couldn't do.
There was one thing that he didn't let it hold him back from. This is what I have and probably always will remember my dad by. These three chords being played in the kitchen while Mum's making dinner, in the lounge room while we're watching TV, behind his head when we have friends over. When I asked Dad why he learnt the guitar, it was simple. He couldn't hear the lyrics, but he could always hear the guitar. And so that's what he'd play tribute to. So I'll leave you now with his favourite song. And as I do, I want you to try to picture a short, weather-beaten man with a grey receding hairline trying to play this on the guitar behind his head. Because no matter how many lost conversations, how many misheard phrases, how many sorries, that'll always be my dad.
That was Creedence Clearwater's River Revival classic, Bad Moon Rising, at the end there. And that voice you heard was the producer, Alex James. You're on with Nick on Macquarie Sunday Sessions. This is 2SER.
New York R&B star and choreographer Tiana Taylor makes her Australian debut this May for Vivid Live. Fresh off her Kanye-produced smash second record, melding new and old R&B with incredible flair, Tiana's electrifying presence in the beautiful Joan Sutherland Theatre is one performance you will not want to miss. Book now for Tiana Taylor's Australian debut on May 29 at sydneyoperahouse.com. 2SER sponsors.
You're listening to Nick on the Macquarie Sunday Sessions. 2SER 107.3.
Yeah, that's right. You're with me, Nick. Hope you are doing well this fun Sunday. That was Big Thief with their song UFOF off of their latest album of the same name. Or letters. You're on 2SER.
Sydney Film Festival returns from June 5 to 16 with over 250 of the best films, famous guests, raucous parties and red carpet premieres. See the greatest, strangest and most exciting Australian features and documentaries alongside the best of international festivals, including Sundance, Berlin and Cannes. Sydney Film Festival takes over 8 iconic cinemas across Sydney for just 12 days. Tickets are on sale now, so be quick. See sff.org.au for more. 2SER is a media partner of Sydney Film Festival.
How long did you sleep for last night? I slept for 4 hours. Not my best effort, I'll admit. But how many Z's do you actually need? Well, Joseph will be up next to answer that question. But first, here's Run the Jewels track for you, coming off the album Run the Jewels 2. This is Crown, and you're on 2SER.
Traps as I sat in the rain and I pray that God give me a lane, give me a lane, give me the fame, give me the fame and I promise to change. Won't be the same, won't be the same kind of man that puts cocaine in this lady hang. Heard she was pregnant, I'm guilty I reckon, cause I hear that this shit could hurt baby's brain. Heard he was normal till 3 and then he stopped talking, since then ain't nothing been the same. Seen her some years later out in Decatur, told her that I'm sorry for causing her pain. Causing me pain, causing me pain. She asked again and she grabbed my right hand. Asked him I'm crazy, said look here baby, I release you from all of your sins and your shame. Cause I've been redeemed, I found the Christ. Whatever it take, I hope you find it, Mike. The look on her face, on that glory, replaced all the shame and the hate, and now she wear a crown. My late grandma Betty had prayed with her heaven and told her to tell me lay my burdens down. Can't pick up no crown, holding what's holding you down. Can't pick up no crown, holding what's holding you down. Can't pick up no crown, can't pick up no crown. Right into the fray, into the haze, into the murk. Told me to prove to them what I was worth. We'll teach you to move without mercy and give you the tools to go after the causes of hurt. You'll become deaf, you will take breath. This is for everything you've ever loved. Use all the pain that you felt in your life as the currency. Go out and trade it for blood. You are not you, you are now us. We are the only ones that you can trust. You'll become fear, they'll become dust. Before this moment you didn't need much. You are the smoldering vessel of punishment, born to do nothing but justify us. Give us your empathy, we'll give you lust. Let yourself go, my son, time to grow up. Give up your childish obsession with questioning anything we don't tell you is irrelevant. Everything you've ever been is replaced by the metal and fire of the weapon you clutch. Can't pick up no crown, holding what's holding you down. Can't pick up no crown, holding what's holding you down. Can't pick up no crown, can't pick up no crown. Can't pick up no crown.
The team behind Clipped Music Video Festival are proud to announce the next instalment of Clipped Premieres. To be held at Golden Age Cinema on Tuesday, May 21st, the event will showcase the latest unreleased music videos from incredibly talented Australian artists and filmmakers. screenings are followed by exclusive Q&As with the creators and a networking happy hour. Tickets available now from ourgoldenage.com.au. Proudly supported by 2SER.
You're listening to Macquarie Sunday Sessions with Nick. That's me. Hope you had a good weekend. How much sleep do you really get per night? I like to tell people I get 5 hours, but honestly, most of the time, I'm just there watching cat videos on my phone until I can't keep my eyes open. Our producer Joseph is here to drop some knowledge bombs about what is the dangers of not getting enough sleep.
A while ago, my grandmother asked me whether I was getting enough sleep. I said, yeah, I was, but I wasn't actually so sure. Getting enough sleep is commonly associated with a healthy lifestyle, but I didn't actually know how much sleep I needed or how much sleep my peers were getting. So, I went out around the Macquarie University campus to find out about my peers' sleeping habits.
Do you know how many hours of sleep you got last night?
I got 5 hours of sleep last night.
5 hours?
Uh-huh.
Really? I think I got like 8.
8 hours?
Yeah.
Last night, I can actually get it. Probably 7.
7?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I got about 4 hours sleep last night.
4 hours?
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
No worries.
So, it seems like there's quite a lot of variation in how much sleep people are getting, but how much is actually healthy? The strongest medical consensus, supported by 17 different scholarly and medical institutions, stated that adults need to get at least 7 hours of sleep a night to promote optimal health. Now, that's not a recommendation to try and aim for 7 hours. That's the very minimum that's healthy for you. Now, that's a pretty basic fact, but so many people don't know it, even though almost all of us spend at least part of their day sleeping. And that got me wondering, what other facts do people not realise about sleep? And what other misconceptions do people have? Luckily, there's been some recent academic work on the matter. In a study led by New York University affiliate Dr. Rebecca Robbins, a number of common sleep myths were presented to a large panel of experts who evaluated the falseness and importance of these myths. With that, here are three important facts about sleep that the study indicated many people don't realise.
Number 1.
Your brain and body can't learn to function as well with less sleep. While it may feel like you can adjust when you experience several days with very little sleep, your physical well-being will suffer. For an example, night shift workers, who tend to get less hours of sleep than the normal person, face an increased risk of disease as well as a higher overall morbidity rate. So you might feel like you can adjust, but you do so at the risk of serious health consequences.
Number 2.
It matters what time you sleep. Sleeping during the day can throw your circadian rhythm out of whack, which results in less sleep and a lower quality of sleep. Also, napping in work breaks during the day to make up for lost time at night means you only get very shallow sleep and not the important deep sleep that you require for memory retention and overall health.
Number 3.
If you have difficulty sleeping, you shouldn't just stay in bed and keep trying. The issue with this is that with those prolonged difficulties, you begin to associate your bed with the struggle to sleep rather than the sleep itself. Instead, get up, read a book, do some light chores until you feel sleepy, then head back to bed. On the plus side, if you have one night where you only get a few hours of sleep, so long as you normally sleep more than 7 hours a night, it shouldn't cause long-term problems. Now, if that feels like a lot to remember, I can't blame you. But if there's one thing you should remember, it's that you should get over 7 hours of sleep a night. So, as a fun way to help you remember that, here's a song about it.
Even though you might feel you gotta work till you feel shoddy, make sure you get yourself to bed because it's better for your body.
You need 7 hours at a minimum of sleep. At least 7 hours to be working at your peak. Less than that, you run the risk of stroke and heart disease, diabetes, overall an increased risk of death, so please
get over 7 hours of sleep a night.
'Cause you need 7 hours to be working at your peak. At least 7 hours, 7 hours of sleep.
That was one catchy banger. It's really succeeded in putting the fear of God into me about my poor sleep patterns. You're here with Nick, and if you're just woken up from your 7 hours, you're on 2SER 107.3.
Are you a business operating in the City of Sydney local area? The 2019 New South Wales Business Chamber Business Awards is looking for businesses in the Sydney City region to enter the program before June 17. There are 13 categories awarded, so why not celebrate your business? For full details on how to enter, visit sydneybusinessawards.com.au. City of Sydney sponsors 2SER 107.3.
That was a track from Always called Dreams Tonight. You're listening to Macquarie Sunday Sessions. My name is Nick, and thanks for hanging out with me on this lovely evening. You've probably heard of ASMR. Maybe you're one of the lucky people who experience it, like me. You'll have a chance to find out soon here on 2SER.
Find out what makes the National Institute of Dramatic Art one of the world's top drama schools.
Come along to NIDA Open Day on Saturday, June 15 from 9 to 4. Whether you want to perform on stage or screen or work behind the scenes, NIDA has a master's, bachelor or diploma course for you. Get info about our courses, watch classes, meet NIDA alumni and see our performances for free. Register to attend by searching NIDA Open Day. NIDA sponsors 2SER 107.3.
This is 2ACR, I'm Nick, and that was Woman from Cat Power, featuring Lana Del Rey.
This Is How You Feel is the sparkling new album from Gelato Negro. Pitchfork gave the album Best New Music, calling it a sublime, masterful piece of music. Also on Spunk Records is a new single from Emma Russack, Winter Blues.
Winter Blues.
Emma Russack performs with The Middle East and The Ocean Party on Saturday, May 25th at Vivid as part of Spunk's 20-year celebrations.
Spunk is a proud supporter of 2SER.
Winter blues.
Do you ever experience a weird sensation when you hear certain sounds or noises? Well, that, my friend, could be that you experience ASMR. In that case, up next is a piece that goes into ASMR and how some people react to it.
Have you ever had someone tapping on a table or whisper in your ear and gotten a weird tingling sensation down your back or through your head? If so, then you may be affected by ASMR, Audio Sensory Meridian Response. In other words, it's a tingling sensation you get when hearing certain words or sounds. The people who do experience it say it helps them to relax or focus or unwind after a long day. I should know, because I react to ASMR. But to people who don't experience it, it can come across as just some people whispering or twiddling their fingers next to a microphone. Or as my girlfriend Maggie thinks, it's just a sex thing.
My name is Maggie Nash and you are my partner.
I would just prefer you to own up to the fact that it is a sexual thing.
I sat down with Maggie and gave her some ASMR videos to watch and listen to, and to see how she would react to experiencing it firsthand and not just seeing it over my shoulder.
How can I not think of her in a sexual way? I'm literally watching her lick my ear, figuratively. It's purely sexual. She's licking the shit out of me.
What you see there with how artists choose to frame their work might resonate with particular audiences.
And this is Dr. Alex Mesker. He is a... wait for it. Associate Lecturer in Media, Music, Communications and Cultural Studies at Macquarie University.
And again, because there's no, to my knowledge, no sort of singular understanding of what this ASMR thing is, trying to catch different audiences. And an ASMR artist is essentially trying to nurture a viewership.
I've spoken with Dr. Mesker to help me shine some light into ASMR and the experience people can have when listening to it.
ASMR is not for everyone. But the people I've told it to have found it very kind of weird and bizarre. If they've listened to it, they've said, no, sorry, I just couldn't get into it. And I'd say, well, what did you listen to? I listened to someone fluttering their fingers and it just irritated me. Maybe for every person that finds these sounds calming and soothing and comforting, others might find them irritating, frustrating, stress-inducing.
She just licked my ear. Well, she licked the ear that's not my ear, that is my ear. And I actually folded it off because I was so uncomfortable. This is actually, like, making me really anxious.
To really see the difference in how people experience ASMR, I enlisted my friend Alex to also watch and listen to some for the first time.
I feel really uncomfortable.
It went a little different than expected.
I feel so uncomfortable. I feel like my skin is like crawling. I feel the opposite of relaxed. My palms are getting really sweaty as well.
Oh God. Oh, stop. Man, stop doing it. No, don't go back for another one.
Well, what about Maggie? What about her reaction?
I don't feel relaxed at all. I feel really uptight and like cringing and... I'm getting the tingles in my vagina. Come on. How is this not sexual? I'm just...
Okay, okay. Let's try a different video.
This is cool. This is a cool video. I do find it weird that she's still kind of looking up at me. Like, what's that for?
Does this give you any ASMR?
A little. Actually, in my back, I feel it, which is weird. It's not bad.
Okay, so that's an improvement, but I know I'm not the only person who enjoys ASMR. There are ASMR artists out there with huge followings online.
Can you also tell me how many views this video has?
11 million.
Holy shit. A lot. 15 million?
15 million.
See? That's heaps of people, just like me.
So as artists get more followers, they start to upgrade their equipment and as such produce better quality videos, which in turn help grow their fan base again. And they have fans that listen to their work more than, say, a musician has fans listening to their songs.
Well, that's a positive. But I'm afraid Maggie's mind is still made up on ASMR. But what can be done to help improve this image?
Right now, all I'm seeing is one type of person, which is, you know, a beautiful, attractive, and a lot of them, you know, make use of their bodies. I would like to see the involvement of all kinds of people, ages, genders, aesthetics, cultures. That may be a good start, because these kinds of women are particularly and stereotypically portrayed in porn a lot, and that's where it's really easy for me to draw that line back there.
So whether you see ASMR as something relaxing or something very different, I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
Well, I don't know about you, but about ASMR, but after all that, I definitely know that it is not a sex thing. Maybe go and check it out sometime. See how you fare. Who knows? You might like it.
On Saturday, May 25, the Back to Funk barbecue returns for another top session at the Vic. It's an afternoon of first-class funk, soul, reggae, hip-hop, disco, Latin and boogie, featuring sets from Meme, Gian Arpino, Jay Reddy, DJ Yon and Shireen De Silva. Family and dog-friendly, good food, good music, good people. The Back to Funk Autumn Barbecue Sessions on Saturday, May 25. 2SER is a media partner of the Back to Funk Barbecues.
Well, that's it for me. My name's Nick, but rest assured, there are plenty more to go on than 2SER. Em and Jason are taking over shortly. And to keep the Macquarie Sunday Sane trainer chugging. This is The Less I Know The Better by Tame Impala.
You're listening to the Macquarie Sunday Sessions on 2SER 107.3.
Hey, you're listening to Macquarie Sunday Sessions on 2SER 107.3, brought to you by students of Macquarie University. I'm Emily.
And I'm Jason. And a big thanks to Nick for taking us through the first part of the show.
Still to come, I'm going to be taking you on an epic adventure, while Jason over here is going to talk to you about why we still play Pokemon.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And our producer Dave is going to tell us what happens to our bodies after we die.
Well, what does happen?
Well, you'll just have to listen and find out.
I'm all ears, and you should be too. Stick around, there's still so much more to come right here on Macquarie Sunday Sessions. For now, though, this is Elva with Tailwind.
Pursue a career in film, TV, radio, or digital media?
Learn the basics or brush up on your skills with a winter intensive short course at the Australian Film, TV, and Radio School.
Practical, hands-on, and taught by top industry practitioners. AFTERS 5-day courses run during June and July.
Enroll now at aftrs.edu.au.
Book now for the early bird discount.
AFTERS sponsors 2SER.
Head On Photo Festival is here. Get down to Paddington Town Hall and check out the festival hub. Enjoy some of the world's best photography as exhibitors showcase their stories and ideas from across the globe. The festival hub is open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. from May 4th to 19th, featuring over 18 exhibitions in the precinct. And best of all, they're free. For more information about this and other festival events around Sydney, go to headon.com.au. 2SER is a proud media partner of Head On Photo Festival 2019.
You're listening to Jason and Em on 2SER Macquarie Sunday Sessions.
So, Em, what is your favourite forgotten childhood show?
Ooh, I don't know, like iCarly?
No, 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 not like a tween Nickelodeon show. Like a proper children's show. And it has to be forgotten.
Okay, hear me out.
Okay.
When I was young, I was obsessed with the Brady Bunch.
No.
I was.
No.
I was.
When you were young.
I was. I actually was. I was crazy about them. I have literally no idea why, but I was so invested in their lives. Literally, like, fun fact, Mike Brady, the dad, he was an architect, another fun fact. And
Good to know.
He built the house that the kids lived in. And I literally knew the layout of the house.
Like, knew the layout.
I knew the layout. I knew if you go up the stairs, you turn right, that's like the boys' room. On the left was the bar. It was weird. It was a really weird obsession.
You knew where the boys and the girls lived.
I did. I actually, like, I don't know why, but yeah, it was sad.
That's not even like a targeted kids show, though.
Oh, but I watched it as a kid, so, like, you know, it's a kid show. I was a kid. It's a kid show. That's how it works.
Okay, look, I wouldn't say that it was a forgotten show, but I will accept that answer.
Well, okay, then. What is a forgotten show that you remember? How can you remember something forgotten?
Okay. Do you remember Bear in the Big Blue House?
Yes! Oh, my God. Is that still on air anymore?
Look, I doubt it.
But, like, you know they made Bananas in Pyjamas animated? I saw that the other day.
Yeah, they did. Same with Bob the Builder.
Really?
Yep.
No.
He's skinny now as well.
No way.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that.
And Thomas the Tank Engine, the mouth moves as well now.
Okay, well, does the Fat Controller still exist?
Look, I think he had to have a bit of a diet.
Oh, and
they
dear.
Had to change his name.
Well, I am so glad that I'm no longer a child because that would have been ruined for me.
Well, speaking of childhood shows, do you still watch Pokemon?
Pokemon was a show?
Oh, no way. How did you not know this?
Why would I know that Pokemon was a show?
Because
sorry,
it was so big.
Really?
Yes, it was massive.
I honestly had no idea. I knew it was a game, and I knew that there was the characters. I literally played Jigglypuff in Smash, so therefore I'm an expert.
So you're basically an expert.
I am an expert. I am. I really am.
Well, with Pokemon being such a massive franchise, I think it's really funny that a game made for children is still attracting such a wide audience of both kids and adults.
I mean, yeah. Like I said, I played, like, Jigglypuff in Smash. That's an adult-ish. I don't know. It's a fine line. But my nephew plays Pokemon.
Yeah, okay.
Well, kind of. Like, he has the cards and he just sort of trades them with his friends. He's like five. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what he does. But.
Well, I mean, my nephew has the cards too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here, have a listen.
I can just do this.
This is my little nephew, Ramon. Say something to the listeners, Ram.
Hi. Oh, I can do it. Like.
While his parents are watching TV, Ramon is in the next room playing with my collection of Pokemon cards.
When I scratch, it's like shiny, look.
Thousands of cards stashed in a transparent tub on the top of a cupboard where we keep our towels. I started collecting those cards when I was his age, 5. I practically begged my mum for a pack at the local hot dollar store. It was something kids my age were doing, and I wanted to join in. And throughout primary school, I continued collecting those cards, expanding my collection. Like, do you guys know how special a Charizard EX is? And I admit, even today, at the ripe old age of 20, I still occasionally splurge on a pack of cards. But if it's a game for kids, like Ramon, then why do adults, like me, still play it? Well, first off, I talked to Jake, who's 29, a longtime Nintendo fan who's been playing Pokemon since it first came out almost 2 decades ago.
Yeah, it makes me feel old, thanks for that.
And why did he start playing Pokemon?
It was one of the first games I ever played, it was the first handheld game I ever got. It was Pokemon Red. So I guess it just kind of felt like you're exploring this big adventure kind of thing. Because I guess back then, there was only really, like, books and, like, free-to-air TV. So you didn't really get that kind of sense of exploration anywhere else.
As a longtime fan of the series, he hasn't had the same enjoyment with the games, mostly because they seem to be more and more targeted for children. I mean, if you listen to the theme songs for the anime, they went from being the absolute very best trainer in the world to the power of friendship.
They have seemed a little bit more hand-holdy lately, like they kind of just walk you through the game. Most of the big fans of the game have grown up with it their whole lives and are now in their 20s or 30s. So obviously you want to target any generation to get into it as well, but I feel like they should try and make something a bit more encompassing to the whole audience, kind of like how Pixar appeals to both families and children.
So what concerns Jake is that the games are becoming too easy. It's designed for children. There's no challenge for the older, more advanced players. But are the games really as child-centered as they seem?
My name is Matt Anthonis. I'm 19, and I've been playing Pokemon ever since I was 5 years old.
How do you keep coming back to Pokemon, considering it's a game more targeted for children?
I don't think it's actually targeted at children. I think the way that it's designed is so that it's supposed to be targeted at children, but what it's done in tandem is it's created a whole phenomenon that's actually targeted at everybody. The reason I come back to it is, yes, because of nostalgia, but also because I think it's a game that's universal for all ages. That being said, like, you know, you have the card games for when you're younger and you do the trading card thing. And it's not to say that I don't still collect the cards now that I'm older, but it's one of those things that you did when you were younger. And then you get into the scene of competitive battling when you're older. It's something that you can understand and wrap your head around. It's like Pokemon is designed and it's created sort of like, what do you say, niches to facilitate all age groups. And you just find the one that you're in.
As the game gets older, new ideas and aspects of the franchise are released, preventing it from becoming stale. The website Pokemon Showdown, for example, lets you battle against friends or even strangers from around the globe in a competitive atmosphere with randomly generated teams. And even before that, there was Pokemon Crater, another website where you could roam around and catch Pokemon from all of the different generations, as well as battle strangers. Of course, these games weren't as well produced or refined as the official ones, but they all excelled at creating a community amongst peers. People bonded over Pokemon. And that sense of community is the main reason as to why we continue to play the games.
That was the whole idea of Pokemon from like basis of like the link cable in the Game Boy original with Red and Blue. Like the whole idea is to build community. As much as there is a meaning for the individual, like there's also a meaning for the collective. I think the collective idea was to bring people together. And you saw that under Pokemon Go when it was released. The whole world was like essentially under Pokemon.
My best friend and I both like Pokemon. So when Pokemon Go first came out, we often just went for walks together and explored places we hadn't been to before and also played that on the way. So it kind of was something else, you know, fun to do as a friend. And then a group of friends one other time went out together and did that and met some new people and kind of made new friends out of it.
I think the fact that you could like come together with a whole bunch of just friends and talk about it and you talk about your favorite Pokemon and why, it was a really interesting conversation because you got to know the person. Like, it sounds stupid that a fake creature would be the thing that could define a person or how you relate to them. But it was just a thing where if someone's favorite Pokemon aligned with yours or they gave a good reasoning, often what would happen is your opinion on that Pokemon would change and then you'd relate together.
And Matt's right. Pokemon is a really good conversation starter. Even asking people what their favorite Pokemon is can lead to an interesting discussion and really does help flesh out their personality.
I like Rapidash because it's a horse, but it's got flames on it, and that's like really impractical and you could never ride it, but that's that makes it better.
And with the new Detective Pikachu movie recently being released, so too is there another way for people to discuss the franchise. I even bumped into a giant Detective Pikachu mascot during the recording of this. I took a photo with him and got a hug, and it was just so cool.
Hey, Joseph.
Hey, Jason.
What did we just do?
We just watched Detective Pikachu.
How great was that movie?
It was actually pretty good. I was a bit nervous, but it was good.
What was the best part about the movie?
When I predicted...
Wait, hold on. Spoilers. All right, okay. Maybe not that. What's the best part of the movie that doesn't involve spoiling?
Oh, that doesn't involve spoiling the entire movie. I really liked... I thought it was pretty cute just seeing all the Pokemon that I grew up with on the screen.
What do you reckon was the best done Pokemon there?
Not gonna lie, Ditto was done pretty well. Biggest disappointment, there was no Graveler.
The idea of Pokemon was to build a community and bring people together. This concept has existed since the very beginning, with trading version-exclusive Pokemon with one another. Although the game has gone through dozens of iterations throughout the past 2 decades, they all come back to the idea of creating bonds. And with the new Generation 8 games coming out at the end of this year, the franchise shows no sign of slowing down. It looks like Pokemon will continue to bring people together for years to come.
And here is Zubat.
Oh, that's so old, Ram. Do you know what that was?
That was one of the first Pokemon cards I ever had.
That is sick.
Wow, so do you play Pokemon with your nephew now?
Yeah, sometimes. Like, he's still pretty young. I mean, he's watched me play the games before, and he's really into it right now. Like, he watches the TV shows and, like, the movies on Netflix.
TV shows that didn't exist.
TV shows that do exist. And right now, he's borrowing my DS to play the games as well.
Oh, so he can play them, like, properly?
Look, I mean, I think his father's enjoying it a little bit more than he is.
Fair enough.
But I will admit, he has gotten me back into it, and I've actually started watching the new series on Netflix too.
Oh yeah, is it as, like, kid-friendly as you remember?
Ooh, I'm a little conflicted. Because, like, I just, some parts are just really kiddie, but the jokes are just so cheesy, I just can't enjoy them. I can enjoy them. Oh. Like, they're too cheesy for me to not enjoy.
Yeah, fair.
And just some parts are clearly fan service. Mm. But I guess as a longtime fan myself, like, those are some of my favourite moments.
Oh, I love that. And I honestly wish I could relate to you right now, but I can't, and I'm really sorry.
You're missing out.
I know. Well, actually, I can relate a little bit.
Okay.
I have a niece. She's 3. She's beautiful. And she was, the other night, I was over at their place for dinner, and she was playing with this little Pokemon character. Okay, I don't know where she got it from, but she's playing it. And she was like, oh, it's Pikachu. It's Pikachu. And my partner was sitting next to me, and he was like, under his breath, that's not Pikachu. And she heard, and she it was kind of awkward. She was a bit like, Oh, maybe it's not Pikachu. And it was fine. it was fine.
Well, so you're listening to Macquarie Sunday Sessions on 2SER 107.3.
Brought to you by students of Macquarie University.
Up next is King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Love me some King Giz.
That rhymes.
This thing we left outside is what Portland-based experimental artist Grouper makes her Sydney Opera House debut this May for Vivid Live. Turning the intimate Utzon room into an uncanny world of dreamy sounds, Grouper will embrace piano, guitar, tape collage and field recordings to perform her hauntingly beautiful music. Book now for Grouper at Vivid Live this May 24 and 25 at sydneyoperahouse.com. To SER sponsors.
After years of whispers, beloved Australian folk rock collective The Middle East reunite for two exclusive performances this May for Vivid Live. Leading the charge across two nights to celebrate Spunk Records' 20th anniversary, The Middle East will perform new music along with all your favourite songs. Joined each night by some of Spunk's finest acts. Book now for The Middle East with very special guests at Vivid Live. May 24 and 25 at sydneyoperahouse.com. Sponsors of 2SER.
You're listening to Jason and Em on the Macquarie Sunday Sessions. 2SER
107.3. So Jason, have you ever thought about what happens after we pass on?
Ooh, I mean, I used to think that our bodies would like not move, but our minds would still be like active, ooh, right? So like, for example, if we died with like our eyes open, like we could still see out of them. But we just couldn't, like, physically move around or anything like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that was a really morbid question. I'm so sorry. I really didn't think it would go there.
Yeah, look, little six-year-old me put a lot of thought into that theory. Ooh. And I think little six-year-old me was also a bit of a psychotic.
Okay, maybe, but I mean, six-year-old me just always wanted to be a tree, to be honest.
What does that even mean?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I hadn't thought about it in great detail at that point in my life. But the idea of, I don't know, being a tree with, like, not just a patch of dirt on top of me seem pretty funky.
More than just a patch of dirt, yep.
Yeah.
That does sound pretty funky.
Yeah, well, you know, our producer Dave has looked at the issue on how to make your death a little greener, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Death. It's one of life's certainties, but a problem regarding death is becoming harder to ignore as each year goes by. We are running out of burial spaces. In every major urban centre across Australia, finding room for new cemeteries is becoming nearly impossible, and those that we do have dwindling room. If nothing gets done on this issue, by mid-century, Sydney will have run out of cemetery space. Just think, not only do your remains take up the space of the burial plot you're placed in, but all the space underneath as well. Although in some religions it is necessary to be buried, what are some alternatives for the rest of us to help solve this issue? Cremation is the most popular alternative to burial. This option gives people a bit more freedom over what they want done with their remains. Scattering, being kept by a loved one, or even buried under a new sapling tree are some popular options here. But cremation does have its own downside. The amount of energy used and pollution caused is a problem that we don't give much thought to. On average, a cremator needs approximately 90 minutes to finish its work at temperatures around 1000 degrees Celsius. Not only does this produce CO2 pollution, but mercury from dental implants is being released into the atmosphere. This is an issue in the UK, where a study found 16% of mercury emissions were from cremated bodies. So if you're on the search for a greener way to go, there are a few options to look out with businesses offering zero emissions burials or green burials. Resimation or water cremation is one such way, using alkaline hydrolysis to break down the body over 2 to 3 hours, which results in lower CO2 emissions and fewer pollutants. But if you're set on a traditional burial, what can you do to reduce your environmental footprint? Firstly, you can choose materials that will break down easier, such as bamboo or cardboard. Make sure fittings are also non-toxic and biodegradable. And lastly, ask if embalming is really necessary for you, due to the use of chemicals, which can leak out into the environment.
I had no idea that so much pollution was caused by cremation.
Yeah, agree. Definitely food for thought, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, let's switch track now.
Definitely,
and,
yep.
You're listening to 2SER Macquarie Sunday Sessions with Em and Jason, and right now we have Running by Helado Negro.
Fading true, I met you.
For one night only, local hero and cultural renaissance man Briggs brings a night of no-holds-barred hip-hop to the Opera House for Vivid Live. This is a miracle. Joining the rapper, producer and AB original member are fellow label mates Electric Fields, David Dallas, The Kid Laroi and more, plus some very special guests. Vital, vitriolic and tons of fun, book now for Briggs' Bad Apples House Party on May 30 at sydneyoperahouse.com. 2SER sponsors.
Spunk has a host of new autumn releases. Helado Negro's This Is How You Feel was just given Pitchfork's Best New Music. Mac DeMarco's fifth album, Here Comes the Cowboy, arrives May 10th. Talking Spunk, come celebrate 20 years of the label at the Sydney Opera House on May 24th and 25th, with a headline performance from the Middle East on both nights, plus special guests. Spunk is a proud supporter of 2SER.
You're listening to Macquarie Sunday Sessions with Em and Jason on 2SER 107.3.
So, Em, do you have any holiday plans coming up?
Well, I do plan on going camping soon. And last week, actually, I went to Kmart and I bought like $152 worth of camping stuff.
Wait, they have camping gear at Kmart?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, I literally got a tent for under like $100 and I got a lamp, a blow-up mattress, picnic table.
Ooh.
Great. Yeah, like, I was proud of myself.
I had no idea you can get that those type of things at Kmart.
Neither. Yeah. Neither. I hope it withstands weather.
Okay, well, touch wood. It's good quality Kmart gear.
I do hope. But, yeah, it should be good, hopefully. Right.
But what about any, like, actual trips?
What, you don't classify camping as, an actual trip?
Well, no. I mean,
what do you have against the great outdoors?
Well, nothing. It's just like, you know, I've got nothing.
Okay, no, I get it.
Okay, well.
Actually, I have been super lucky, actually. I got accepted into this 3-week film course over in America for a few weeks.
Oh, wow.
So that's coming up. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, no, that sounds so cool. Yeah, it's going to be a long flight.
Yeah, I think the total travel time is around 24 hours, something like that.
It's rough. Any stopovers?
Yeah, just LA, I think, and then straight to Detroit. But
LA, yep.
Speaking of LA Mood here, have a banger of a song, Highway Fidelity. Let's listen.
New album Scared of You is out now, featuring new single Carry You Around. Try to sit you down and carry you around. Laura is bringing her band to launch Scared of You Thursday, May 23 at the Lansdowne. You give me the creeps. With supports Baby Beef and Easy Street. Laura Imbruglia album launch, May 23 at the Lansdowne. See lauraimbruglia.com for info. Proud to SER sponsor.
In the House cult film Classics returns to Event Cinemas George Street on May 13th, screening Stanley Kubrick's timeless horror classic, The Shining.
Here's Johnny!
Don't miss your favourite cult classics back on the big screen now on Monday nights, hosted by the movie nerds. Check the full film list and grab tickets at eventcinemas.com.au. Event Cinemas George Street sponsors 2SER 107.3.
You're listening to Jason and Em on Macquarie Sunday Sessions. 2SER 107.3.
Eleni Mandel with Be Together. What a good song, honestly. All the greatest songs are right here on 2SER.
Right here on 2SER, yep. So, Em, quick question. I've obviously been thinking a bit about it since you mentioned it. Do you go camping often?
Well, I like to think I do. I try to go at least once a holiday with some friends.
Okay, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Yeah, honestly, I've only been like maybe two times. Like, I've never really considered it as a holiday.
Okay, you're actually missing out because camping is such a beautiful way to see the world. Who else can say that they get woken up in the middle of the night by a kangaroo trying to eat your garbage? Like, honestly, clearly a life experience.
Clearly a life experience.
You
yes.
don't want to miss out on. But you are missing out on it.
Must try it out sometime, kangaroo.
Yeah,
you waking up. So, where was your last trip to then?
Queensland, actually. We did a road trip with a few of us. We went to the Gold Coast and we camped at different spots on the way up. And then we stayed at the Gold Coast for a bit and then we just headed back down again.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, cool. Did you do anything exciting while you were there?
What, camping isn't exciting enough for you?
Well, no, but like, you know, you know what I mean. Come on.
I do. I did do something pretty damn exciting though.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. I was 15,000 feet in the air. I had this gut feeling in my stomach. I was attached to this stranger who was only slightly taller than me. And that's saying something because I'm 5 foot. And did I mention that I'm afraid of heights? I'm Emily. And last summer, I decided to skydive. Before I knew it, I was waking up at 4:30 a.m. to travel a good 2.5 hours to jump out of a plane. Oh, and did I mention I'm afraid of heights?
We got a call and they said it's gonna be rain. Can you come earlier? It's 2 hours earlier than we had planned.
That was Matt. He was in the plane with me when we jumped.
It wasn't a bad drive or anything, it was just annoying.
Did you just like skip the part where we it was pouring with rain and we got there late?
Oh yeah, that's right. I don't remember the rain, but I remember we got there a little bit late and you were worried.
It was bucketing down when we got onto the highway. Great weather for a skydive, right?
And it was a tiny plane, tiny plane, and it was shitty. It was like shaking, little metal bits were flapping in the wind. You're right next to a window. And the whole plane was basically a window.
Have you ever had that dream when you fall and you continue falling and falling and falling and you wake up just before you hit the ground? It's believed that this type of dream is related to insecurities and instabilities and anxieties of everyday life.
So you could see all the clouds and the sky, and then we're probably like in the air for half an hour before the pilot told us that it wasn't safe for us to jump because it was raining where we're gonna land. So they said we've got to go back down. So that's what we did. And a trip that took 30 minutes to get there took 2 minutes to get back. We got out of the little plane, walked back to the office, and we sat down for honestly probably 3 minutes. And then they said, okay, we're ready to go again.
So I was first to jump. I was pushed towards the door and it was extremely loud when the door opened. There was all this pressure and noise and I was told to dangle my legs out of the plane. My instructor said to me at this point, okay, I'm going to jump in 3 seconds. Are you ready? But what happens if we just let this all go? What happens if we do just let ourselves fall? 3, 2, 1, and we fell. We fell so fast. It was beyond crazy. Because you've never had an experience like that before, right? You've never just let yourself fall. And suddenly you were. And there was nothing at all to hold on to. And there was no turning back at this point either. You just kept falling. Until he tapped me on my shoulder to warn me that the parachute was about to open. We jolted back and it was silent. We floated down. I could see the gorgeous sunshine coastline, the water, the land, but all I could hear was silence. Not a single sound. Of course, until my stomach decided to disagree with me and I threw up midair. I thought it was all out of my system and the instructor had a laugh about how this was his job and it was fine, until the second time I threw up again, midair, in the silence while we were floating back down to Earth. Graceful.
That's why I thought it was funny at first, because it's like you threw up for no reason. The guy you threw up on wasn't as lucky.
I do recommend you do it at least once in your life, though. Despite my misfortunes, you'll never experience anything like it. Funny story, actually.
Okay, yeah?
Yeah. My mum doesn't know I went skydiving.
She doesn't know.
So, hey, mum. Oh my. That's what I did. I hope you enjoy my story.
That is going to be quite the interesting conversation when you get home.
But I'm alive and, you know, I asked my dad before I left if I could go skydiving and okay. He's like, don't do it. And I was like, but why not? My sister went. And he's like, yeah, but she didn't tell us. So I took that on board as a consensual, yes, do it. But don't tell me. So I did.
What
I
a
did.
Rebellious girl you are.
I know. It was so good though, except for the throwing up part. but that you know what? That's pretty much a wrap from us here on the Macquarie Sessions. So please tune in next Sunday at 7 p.m. for more Macquarie Student Takeover goodness. Did you have fun?
Yes, I had so much fun.
Oh, good.
Definitely tune in next week, guys.
Question though, would you go skydiving?
would I go skydiving? Yeah. Or I'm terrified of heights. I don't think I could ever do it.
Oh, dear. Oh, okay. Well, I still think you should. Well, anyway, I'm Em. Thanks for...
Yep.
Thanks for tuning in.
And I'm Jason. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Bye.